Yes, Lord. For you are worthy and powerful and mighty, Lord. For you love us, Lord. And in your holiness, Lord, you have placed the chastisement and you have afflicted your Son in order for us to be standing here today by your grace, Lord. We exalt thee. We exalt you, Lord, continually in our hearts and in our minds, Lord. And we aim to focus, Lord, at worshiping you and with reverence, Lord, coming before you and just thanking you for everything you have done in us, Lord. Continue, Lord, to stir in our hearts the passion and the motivation to bring adoration before this place, Lord. And Lord, not only in this place, but from day to day, we want to just shine for your glory, Lord. The goodness of your love, and that people around us will see and experience that we are loved in you. Beyond understanding or imagination, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your grace to us. Thank you for this time in which we worship you, Lord, and rejoice at the fact that we are your children. Lord, continue to bless your people this morning as we worship and reverently seek you, Lord. In your mighty name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated for a moment here. I have an announcement. Actually, I don't have an announcement. Sarah Payne, who is our children's ministry coordinator, is going to just give a praise to God on what's going on with VBS and just make an announcement here. Thank you, Sarah. Forgot to turn that mic on.
Good morning. So about 3 weeks ago, we had a big kickoff for Vacation Bible School. We had a lunch after second service, and we really just asked our congregation to join us in praying for Vacation Bible School and praying that for the kids that will be coming, praying for the volunteers that we need and things like that. And I'm so thankful for the praises of those prayers and the fruit of those prayers already. We have about 80 kids already registered for Vacation Bible School, which is amazing. And we can still, we're happy to have more kids come, and so encourage, continue inviting your neighbors, your friends, and things like that to come. And we also have had so many volunteers step forward and be willing to help in so many different ways with Vacation Bible School. We have many of our youth that have been working behind the scenes, practicing for our skits and practicing for helping lead the songs in front of all of our kids at Vacation Bible School. We've had our teacher trainings, and those teachers have invested time to come to training and continue their preparations throughout the next week or so. We've had people working behind the scenes preparing snacks and getting all that organized. And so I'm just so thankful for that. I just want to remind you that Vacation Bible School is starting in 8 days. So June 21st through 25th, it's from 8:30 to noon each day. And it's for kids who are four years old through those who have completed kindergarten. I'm sorry. Thank you. That's a really small group to have 80 kids, huh? No, sorry. 4 year olds through those who have completed sixth grade. There we go. We are in need of a few additional volunteers, so I just want to bring those needs before you and ask you to pray for those positions. And if God is nudging you, would you please just listen to that nudge and talk to me about what you can or can't do, and we'll make a plan. Some of the specific needs we have are another second grade teacher. We're trying to keep our classes smaller, and we have two teachers at each grade level through first grade, and it looks like from what we have pre-registered that we are in need of a second grade teacher and some helpers in some of our classrooms as well. If you don't feel like you could be a head teacher but you feel like you could help, that would be great as well. We are in need of another adult who could help with recreation as well. We have one person who's willing to organize, and she said she could do the whole thing, but if we could get that second adult, it would just be fantastic to have that. And other people to come alongside and assist those adults with recreation. We already have a praise this morning. I was talking to someone and they said I was going to bring forth that we needed someone to help with record keeping, with attendance and counting offering, but that was already answered this morning. So that's exciting also. So if you're able to help with any of those things, just talk to me. Also, we have a list of food donations that we need. So I know a lot of you work and you're not available to come during those times, but if you're available to bring a food donation, that sign-up sheet is on the table in the foyer. And all of us can pray. So if you guys will be praying for the kids that are coming and the families that will be impacted because of what those kids are learning during the week, and just lifting our volunteers up that they'll have wisdom to know where God is leading and the needs that the kids have in their classroom. If you'll just really be covering this Vacation Bible School in prayer, we would really appreciate that. And one other need is if you can come help with decorations. We want this to feel like a transformed building where the kids get to come for Vacation Bible School. So we'll be working on decorations all throughout this coming week. If you can come at any time during the early morning, during the day, in the evening, anytime, we would use your help. And even if I personally am not here, I can point you in the right direction of, here's a pile of decorations, could you take it to this classroom and decorate, or something like that. So if you have any time that you can give in that way, that would be great as well. And we're just looking forward to an exciting week of Vacation Bible School starting on the 21st. So thank you for joining with us in prayer.
Anyone grateful for Sarah? Mm-hmm. She's just awesome.
Yes.
Let me give Sarah a hand. I shared this last year, but you know, VBS was where I met Jesus. Broken home, disastrous mess, and the Lord met me there, and I remember it like yesterday. So VBS really matters. It's not just a little kids event. It really is a destiny engine. Amen? Let's sing this song together. Be thou my vision.
Yes, Lord. Now we pray, Lord, that as we continue to go through your word this morning, Lord, you speak to our hearts and our minds, that you open the eyes of our understanding, as your word says, Lord, and that we may be able to be transformed and changed, Lord, into a new level, Lord, of understanding as your word is calling us to. And Lord, thank you for everything you're doing in our midst. Lord, we, in fact, lift the whole BBS, Lord, event to you, Lord. And more than anything, Lord, that we become, Lord, a light in the heart of the children that come to this place during the following week, Lord. And Lord, in many ways, Lord, we are to extend that mentorship to children, Lord, to other families. Give us the heart and the passion to minister to them. And may it be, Lord, that 10, 20 years from now, those relationships, Lord, will allow us to continue to grow in Christ together, shaping one another according to your purpose. Lord, change us, transform us, Lord, renew us according to the power of your Holy Spirit. In your mighty name we pray this morning. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated this morning. And I'm going to invite you to go to the book of Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Thank you, John, and the worship team. Amazing time of worship. Amen. So to be able to come and just worship God and focus on the Lord through these songs and then go to the Word of God, what a blessing we have as a church. Now, as we go into this passage this morning, I want to remind you we are going through the Gospel of Mark, for the most part on Sundays here. And as we do this, we are in chapter 8. And this message is titled Supernatural Discernment and Transformation. Supernatural Discernment and Transformation. The power of God working in us through Jesus Christ and changing us. Now, if you remember here, I want to just take a moment to remind you that as Jesus is talking to the disciples, to the Pharisees first in chapter 8, and he is doing miracles and many other things, the Pharisees ask for a sign. They have not seen the signs of Jesus Christ. And then as he talks to his disciples after that, he says, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees." And the disciples do not know what that means. In fact, they are confused and wondering what that looks like and why is Jesus saying this. And they're going thinking that it is about the bread, that they have no bread, even though Jesus just made a miracle of multiplying the bread. And then when that happened, Jesus obviously confronts his disciples and talks to them about their lack of understanding. Now, at this point, we see a miracle in verse 22 that is going to take place. And it says, "And they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought to him a blind man and begged him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had spit on his eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked him, 'Do you see anything?' And he looked up and said, 'I see people, but they look like trees walking.' Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again, and he opened his eyes. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. And he sent them to his home, saying, 'Do not even enter the village.' And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say that I am?' And they told him, 'John the Baptist.' And others say, 'Elijah.' And others, 'One of the prophets.' And he asked them, 'But who do you say that I am?' And Peter answered him, 'You are the Christ.' And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him." So we have an interesting passage here this morning. And I want to just, you know, remind you that we are to look at the whole chapter, you know, the context of this passage. But as I look at this, you know, it's amazing how God is the only one who opens either our ears or our eyes or our heart, our mind, our understanding to see the revelation of His glory. Amen. And that's why this morning I said, "Lord, what do we are to see here through this passage?" Well, look at the supernatural power of Jesus bringing discernment to some, not to everyone, to some, but then transformation through that discernment and understanding of who He is. We see a miracle, first of all, a physical sight in this passage. Right in the midst of all this idea, and obviously as I look at the chapter, one thing is connected to the other one, and then Peter ends up confessing and making one of the greatest statements that Jesus is the Messiah. But first we look at this miracle, the physical miracle of a blind man. We look at visibility, what this man sees and what does that mean. And, you know, as we look into this, how many of you know that eyesight is an amazing ability given by God? You know, when we just consider this for a moment. When we open our eyes in the morning, I mean, right away we are able to see and discern what's going on, you know, whether it's close or far through the window. I mean, the weather, you know, the people close to us. It takes a look sometimes to find out if our wife is content and happy or maybe having a difficult morning, right? I mean, just to look, the ability of looking. So eyesight is more than the eye meets, right? Pun intended with that there. But, you know, think of a couple of things. Eyes are able to process 36,000 pieces of information in a single hour. 36,000 pieces of information in a single hour. Eyes are the second most complex organ after the brain. So the brain is complex, okay? I mean, just think of psychology, psychiatry, and everything that has to do with how you feel and why are you doing these things. Eyes are the second more complex organ. Now, when we look at this, our eyes are made up of over 2 million working parts. 2 million working parts in our eyes. And when we think of this, it's the muscles of the eye are the most active and the fastest muscles in the body of a person. That's why we say in the blink of an eye, right? Because they are fast. I mean, in a moment you can just, you know, blink and look and see things. And half of our brain is dedicated to vision and seeing. In fact, 80% of what we memorize is determined by what we see with our eyes. So someone who has never seen with their eyes when they were little and they're blind, you know, the way they dream and the way they memorize things is very different, and therefore their communication and everything else. So no doubt, Jesus bringing a miracle to this man is a miracle and a powerful thing. He came to Bethsaida, and some people brought to him a blind man because he couldn't come by himself. So this man is living in ignorance. He's living in darkness. He's living in impossibility in so many ways. Things that we take for granted every day, right? I mean, how often we got up and we just take for granted the fact that we see well. You know, I love when I'm looking for my contacts and I don't have any glasses or contacts on, you know. And my wife is like, here we go again. Are you looking for your contacts? Yeah, have you seen them? They're right in front of your eyes right there, just rich. And I'm like, thank you. Because that's hard. But we take it for granted, right? You know, the other morning I got up, and this is this week actually, and I thought it's kind of funny how my eyes look today, feel today, you know. And I'm taking a shower and thinking, but I'm really washing well this morning. I mean, I got good sight today. Lord, thank you. Then I realized I slept with my contacts on all night. So it's like, no wonder I feel funny, you know. So I spent all night with my contacts on, you know. But I think of this, and it's a miracle. You have to be led by people. You have to be, you know, wondering what's going on around you. And these people begged him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. Jesus is leading the man out of the village, and when he had spit on his eyes, he laid his hands on him, and he asked him, do you see anything? And he looked up and said, I see people, but they look like trees walking. Then Jesus laid his hands on this man again, and he opened his eyes, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Now when you look at that, he saw everything afar, with radiance. That's the Greek word right there. The ability to see. Jesus miraculously gave sight to this man. But there is something here. You know, as he healed him, he restored his sight in two stages. Now I look at this and I thought, Lord, why you didn't heal him at once so that I wouldn't have to explain that on Sunday morning, right? Now what am I going to say here? Because you wonder, why is this taking place? Why will the Lord heal these men in two stages? Is there a need for Jesus to work the supernatural with the natural? I mean, why is he spitting on the man? Why is he touching him? And why is he doing this more than anything in two stages? And I look at this and I thought, God, what does this mean? So as we look at the need in the eyes of these men, just let me invite you to wonder for a moment. Is this need or miracle bigger than any other miracles? I mean, just, I want to remind you. Yes, the eyesight is an amazing thing. But Jesus is powerful. Amen? He's almighty. There is nothing too difficult for him. I mean, he rose Lazarus, and Lazarus was dead. Amen? Not only he was dead, he was deaf and he was blind. And he had no sensitivity at all. And he said, Lazarus, come out of the tomb. Well, how does that happen? In a supernatural way. It's not that Jesus needs to work a miracle in order to accomplish it or to mix things here. So I thought, Lord, so what are you telling us here? In fact, when we look at this, Mark identifies two blind men that Jesus healed in his gospel. And throughout the rest of the gospels, Matthew, Luke, and John, five more miracles are identified. Some of them are repeated, but in total we have seven miracles that are identified of blind men who were healed. Only in two of these seven cases we see the miracle done in stages or in different ways, like in a process. But when we look at the rest of the Gospels in regard to healing of the blind was always included in the miracles of the Gospels in every other place. In fact, look in Matthew 11:5. The blind received their sight and the lame walk. These are besides the seven that I mentioned. There were blind men in some of the crowds of people that came seeking for healing. And lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. That's when John asked, are you the one that we were waiting, or should we wait for someone else? This is the answer of Jesus. In fact, it says that he healed many right there on that instance so that they will take the message back to John the Baptist to prison. In Matthew 15:30-31, it says, and great crowds came to him, bringing with them the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. And they put them at his feet. And he healed them so that the crowd wondered. And when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled healthy, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, they glorified the God of Israel. See, Jesus was making miracles as this all the time. So you look at what's going on and it makes you wonder why two stages. In Matthew 21:14, when Jesus is in the temple ready to be crucified during those last days, it says that the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. So when I look at the passage, it is necessary to look at this miracle in the context of the blindness of the Pharisees that asked for a sign when there were plenty of signs, first of all. Second, the lack of focus and discernment of the disciples when Jesus warned them about the leaven of the Pharisees. See, one group, they're totally blind. But there's another group that their eyes have been opened and yet they lack understanding. They're still blind to some extent. And that speaks to us in some way. See, we see, right? But we don't see clearly yet. Paul says we see as in a mirror. But one day we will see everything. And we are growing in the understanding and revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. In fact, we were singing about the love of God. One of the greatest things for us Christians is to know the kind of love that God has for us. But you know, that's difficult. Amen? Sometimes we wake up and we feel like, God, are you really with me? Are you real in my life? Are you really caring for my situation right now? Is your compassion working on my behalf today? God is always at work in us. Amen? But sometimes we don't see that because we don't have the understanding that we should have. Now, the other thing that we need to look at this in this miracle or this miracle in the context of is the statement of Peter regarding Jesus' identity. Peter is about to make the greatest confession. So, the Pharisees are blind. The disciples are growing in understanding. But the moment. Peter finally realizes who Jesus is. And when Jesus brings this question, it's not just random questions being asked by God. Jesus is asking this question for a reason. And Peter all of a sudden is going to say something that he's never stated before or confessed before. So I look into this and I think, Lord, thank you for giving us this understanding of how we are to grow in our understanding of you. Physical eyesight is a metaphor that is used through the scriptures to illustrate spiritual discernment in our lives. It was prophesied that Jesus will come and restore the spiritual sight of men. Look in Isaiah with me, chapter 42. A passage to speak of this. Behold, it says in Isaiah 42:1, my servant who I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights, I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. This is the way of Jesus Christ the Lord. He's coming with the Spirit of God. He's coming not with a loud voice, he's coming in a humble way. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He's going to restore the fallen, the hurting, the broken in a way. And he will faithfully bring forth justice because he is going to uphold the justice and bring his righteousness to men. And he will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth. And the coastlands wait for his law. Thus is God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives bread to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness, and I will take you by the hand and keep you, and I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind. The whole purpose of Jesus coming and bringing righteousness and healing the brokenhearted and everything that he did is to bring sight to the blind. And obviously this sight is not just physical sight, but it's an illustration of understanding and the realization of who he is. And to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon. See, when we are in prison, there's nothing we can do about it. Someone needs to open the door for us to get out of prison. And then he says there, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. What darkness? Darkness, the spiritual darkness in which humankind dwells. And then in verse 8, I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. When Jesus was walking in the power that he had, he was God incarnate, healing and changing and transforming. And yet there were some that were completely blind. There were some that were growing in their understanding of Jesus. And there were some that will confess him as Lord and Savior, as Peter was doing at that very moment. And in some of those processes, in that process, we are. Sometimes we were in the past. We look at this, and spiritual ignorance and spiritual darkness in the Bible are equated to those who reject the truth. Look in Matthew chapter 15, verse 10 through 16, and look how Jesus speaks of this blindness in those that reject the truth. It says in verse 10, as I was saying, he called the people to him and said to them, hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles a person. Remember, these people had religion. They were basing their relationship with God on what they ate and how they lived their life. But they had no Christ, no Messiah, no understanding. They were deaf and they were blind completely. And Jesus is challenging them. And then it says, the disciples came. I mean, another illustration of how some are blind and deaf and some are growing in their understanding. But Jesus is saying, you need to grow in this understanding. It says, the disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? And he answered, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the pit. What an amazing statement there. You may have religion and understanding and knowledge, but you are in darkness. If you don't see in a supernatural way and in a transformation that is coming directly by Jesus Christ, you're still in blindness there. How many people and how many sects and how many religions and how many ideas are just flourishing in the world of people that do not have an understanding of who Jesus is, and yet they think they are saved. Amen? You know, this week was an interesting week for us here in the office, for me in many ways. But Thursday, I mean, I was busy studying and meeting with people and stuff. And then all of a sudden, Tina says, she's back there, she says, there's somebody on the phone and he has a Bible question. And I thought, here we go. So I guess I'm supposed to answer that, right? I said, okay, go ahead and transfer that to me. I said, so I pick it up and I said, hi. I'm thinking, I got to hurry up here. I said, how can I help you? He says, well, I have a question of the Bible because I went to your website and you see that Jesus Christ was God incarnate walking among the people. I'm reading a Bible here, he said, and he says in 1 John chapter 4 that nobody has ever seen God. So you're saying that God walked among the people, but nobody has ever seen God? So that's a contradiction there. And I said, well, first of all, I said, I'm going to try to answer your question, but I don't intend to clarify this just by answering questions from the Bible. I'd love to meet with you, so it'd be nice if you come. But he got a little upset there. He said, well, if you're not able to answer my question on the phone, how do you want me to meet with you? I said, okay, I perceive you have more knowledge than you're telling me. And you're not just asking a question. You want to get into a discussion here. And that's not my plan. He said, do you have an answer or not? I said, I do have an answer, but let me go through some verses. So I start going through the verses and you can see this went south. And he says, no, God never walked among us. Jesus was not God. And you know, I tried and I said, in Jesus dwells the full deity of God. You got to understand that. He's the one who was prophesied in scriptures and God spoke through the prophets and the Old Testament in many places. But now he speaks to us through his son. And that way they crucify him because not only he was healing on the Sabbath, but he acted like God, forgiving sins and doing all these things. And you know, he eventually rebuked me actually and hang up and he said, you know, I rebuke you. And I said, all right, thank you very much. And I thought, Tina, thank you for just making my day easier here, you know, the other side of the window. But you know, as I was going in my mind through this, I was thinking, Lord, if I would have only quote this verse, you know, if I would have gone to this passage, if I would have said this, and then I went here. It's not to me to convince people. of who Jesus is. We got to realize it's a supernatural work of God. It is God who changes the mind and the heart. These people had knowledge. They had religion. They lived for the religion for years and years and years. Everything they did was based on their religion and their ideas. And they were blind. And you know what I meant to say to this person is, if Jesus is not God, let me tell you, you're still in your sins, buddy. And you're going to hell. And I am going to hell too, because if He is not God, and He didn't come and die for my sins, and He didn't resurrect from the dead, I am dwelling in sin, and my faith is completely vain and a waste of time in my life. Because Jesus came to die for us. But He was not just a man, He was God incarnate. Because the righteous has to die for the sins of the wicked. But you know, people miss the point because they don't have eyes and minds to see. And I look at this and look what Jesus is saying to them. If they weren't planted by my Father, they will be rooted up. And let them alone. They are blind guys and they are leading people into a pit. And then Peter says in verse 15, you know, Peter gets in trouble all the time here. Explain the parable to us. And Jesus says, are you also without understanding? Still without understanding. You should know by now, Peter. You've been with me for a while. Come on. Open your eyes and your mind. You know, sometimes you look at this and you think, man, this guy was in trouble all the time. That's how we are. Amen? I mean, how many years you've been a Christian? And you still have to be learning and repeating the same things from the Bible. I was thinking about this, and I've been a Christian for 27 years in my life, you know, reading the Word and following God. And sometimes, you know, I get offended. Sometimes I miss the point. Sometimes I get angry. Sometimes, you know, I lose it. I lose my patience with people, with my kids. How many times I realize that I'm doing only this much of what I really know and what has been given to me in the resources of Jesus Christ. So yes, we are in a growth process here of understanding who Christ is. A spiritual ignorance and a spiritual darkness are part of those who reject the truth of God. But yes, we're growing as Christians. Now look in John 9:39, when Jesus is talking to these people. For judgment I came into this world, and those who do not see may see. We were blind. And those who see may become blind, because they were religious people who saw, but they rejected Jesus and they rejected the truth. Some of the Pharisees near Him heard these things and said to Him, are we also blind? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains. See, when you look at Jesus with natural eyes, He's not going to meet all the things that you want Him to meet. Amen? But when you surrender and submit to Him and you say, Lord, your will and not my will, you get the eyes to see. That's what happened to these people. Unbelief and Satan himself are the causes of a spiritual blindness in humanity. Just think of secularism, for example. Think about the religions that are in this world, as I spoke. Or maybe even in Christianity, offenses and pride. How many times, you know, we get resented and then a root of bitterness just sprouts out. And we were walking in freedom. We were walking in vision with God, and we were knowing what we were doing. But all of a sudden, this stumbling block becomes a hindrance in my walk with Jesus Christ. And it's because unbelief or because Satan is just pushing me to be offended, to be angry at someone. Look in 2 Corinthians 4:4. In their case, the case of the unbeliever, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. I mean, that verse responds to the question that I was asked on Thursday. They don't see the image of God. They see Jesus. They see a historic character. They see maybe a prophet, maybe a rabbi, someone important, but they don't see the power of God in Jesus Christ. Now, look at this for us. Jesus uses the miracle of a blind man to illustrate the process of restoration in the spiritual side of His disciples. Look in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, 21. And this is where we are by God's grace. It says here that the 72 were preaching and they returned saying to Jesus, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in Your name. And Jesus says, That's great, but just remember that your name should be written in the book of life. But then in the same hour, verse 21, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. This is Jesus looking at his disciples, the ones that he sent out. And he says, I am excited. I'm full of joy in the Spirit. And then look what he states out of his mind, the Lord. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. How many of you see today? You see. I mean, look outside. You could be hiking, walking, enjoying the day in another form today, right? There are plenty of things that you could be doing today. But here, if you weren't dragged to church this morning, right? You're here because you want to grow in your understanding of the Lord. And it is because in the grace of God, God has chosen to reveal something to you that He has hidden for many people. Now look what it says. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal. So what you know and what you experience right now this morning is because of the grace of God in your life. And then it says, then turning to the disciples, he said privately, blessed are the eyes that see what you see. Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and didn't see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Are you aware of the blessings and resources and just the miracle that God has done in your life by revealing who He is to you this morning? Just consider this for a moment. In the book of Peter, it says the gospel and the things of the gospel are things that angels long to look. And sometimes we are indifferent to these things. Sometimes we are dull of understanding. And sometimes we feel like, you know, I have grown enough. I don't need to know more. Let me tell you, if you just get a grasp of the gospel in your life and say, Lord, show me what this means for me. Jesus Christ Himself was rejoicing with this. In other words, are you excited this morning that you are a believer in Jesus Christ? I mean, what a powerful thing we have in Him. There's a Christian song in Spanish that I love, and you know, I listen to it from time to time, and it says, it was you. It was you. I didn't know it. It was you. It was you. I didn't get it. It was you who led me when I was a child and protect me, even though I never confessed you yet. I mean, it doesn't rhyme in English, okay? It makes no sense. But what I'm trying to tell you is just so powerful, because for years and years we walked in darkness. Amen? And one day, you know, by the grace of God, we were just revealed. And the grace of God was manifested to us. And I don't know about you, but I went back in my own life and I looked at everything and I thought, Lord, you were there. But John was sharing about his family. You know, my parents were divorcing and separating, and by the grace of God they didn't, but He was there. He was protecting me. When I cried at night, when I wondered why, when I wanted out of my circumstances, He was God who protected me. And you know, even as a Christian, there are times when I've been doing the wrong thing, you know, following the deception of this world and just not seeing the grace of God, and yet God, you know, He kept me. He protected me. He didn't treat me with discipline and correction at the time, although He ought to do it, right? Because I was, you know, I knew better and I was still walking in sin in some ways. But God loved me so much. Have you seen the love of God in your life? Have you seen that grace of God in your life? And look at Jesus rejoicing at this. And as they believed and followed, their spiritual eyes were opened by grace. And yet, there was still a process remaining in the restoration of their sight. So you are here this morning, and you may, you know, for years you may have been hearing the same things over and over and over, and you say, how dare I to be so behind in my Christian walk? Be challenged, but let me tell you, do not be broken in such a way that you don't want to move on, okay? There are two things that need to happen in us. Yet we realize that we ought to know better, amen? But at the same time, we say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for not using the 2x4 on my neck when you should have, right? Because at times that's how I feel, you know, Lord. I mean, why are you so patient with us, with me? Look, in the Gospel of Luke, and we're not going to see through all these, but, you know, we see that Jesus, I mean, He's been with them for years. He told them these things. He shared miracles and everything. And there are these two guys that are coming from a village that is called Emmaus. And, you know, Jesus gets with them and they say, what are you talking about? And they said, well, Jesus of Nazareth, whom we hoped was the Messiah and was going to change everything around here, He was killed. And yes, there are some women that are saying that He resurrected, and Jesus sat with them to eat bread. And yes, He challenges them and He told them how they were just so blind. But then He says in verse 31, and their eyes were opened and they recognized Him, and He vanished from their sight. And they say to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while He talked to us on the road, while He opened to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord has risen indeed, and He has appeared to Simon. Then they had told what had happened to them on the road and how He was known to them in the breaking of the bread. And I look at this, you know, and it's a simple story, but the revelation of Christ is a supernatural work. It is. Yes, these men, they meant well. They had good intentions, you know. They were looking for something good, but it was beyond their ability to grasp who Jesus was. And that evening when He broke the bread in front of them, all of a sudden, they realized the glory and the majesty of Jesus Christ. And you know, I look at this and we are where we are by the grace of God. Amen? Don't you ever get full of pride and think, you know, I was so wise and so much. You were nothing. Okay, let me tell you, if there is anything good in us, it's because of the grace of God. Amen. And let me tell you this, if there is a doctor or a scientific guy, you know, or an astronaut or anyone out there that has something good, let me tell you, that's because of the grace of God. Amen. The Bible says clearly, any gift and every perfect gift is coming down from heaven, from the Father of lights. Well, you know, I used to go to church and I really pay attention. You pay nothing. You were bored to death in church. You know, you thought this man is crazy preaching to you and the songs and everything. But when the grace of God is revealed to you, that's a different story. And I look at this, you know, and I miss it more often than not. So why would I say that I was wise enough to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ in my life? It's the grace of God. And let's just acknowledge that together and say, Lord, how many times you had to come back to us and open our eyes again and again and again and again and again. And yes, thank you, Lord, for loving me like that. I mean, the Lord goes back to the upper room, and it says in verse 45 of Luke 24, then He opened their minds to understand the scriptures. I mean, how many times have you opened the Bible and you're just going through the verses there and you realize, I don't know what I read. Huh? Have you been there? Were you there this morning? And you have to go back and say, what was I reading? Because sometimes we are dull. And He said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in His name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. You've seen these things. You will be witnesses. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Because you can't do anything on your own strength. You would need the power and the strength of God. So we look at this, and although the disciples were walking with Jesus, that revelation of the truth of Christ is a supernatural work of God that is continually developing in the lives of His disciples. And therefore Jesus has to speak about the Pharisees and how blind they were, and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And then they don't get it. And Jesus says, why don't you understand? And He heals these men in the presence of them as He's going to Caesarea Philippi. And then on the way, let's see back in Mark chapter 8. On the way, verse 27, Jesus went on with His disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way He asked His disciples, who do people say that I am? Just look at the question for a moment. People around you, what do they say of Jesus? They told him John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. And others one of the prophets. Today, Jesus is still the biggest controversy there is, right? He changed everything. He affected everything. The whole world. I mean, Christianity, by God's grace, changed civilization in so many ways. If you really study the history of the world, Jesus has changed the world through His church. Everything. And yet they refuse to believe in Him. Or they say, well, He was a good man, a prophet, someone important. But they do not want to surrender to Him. One day, every tongue will confess that He is Christ. And every knee will bow to Him. And believe me, they will cry. Because that's what the Bible says. They will cry. Because they killed Him and they deny Him and they reject Him. But He asked this question. And you know, now He asked them, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answered Him, you are the Christ. And He strictly charged them not to tell anyone about that. So this is the greatest question. Who is Jesus? And the greatest confession by Peter comes at this point in time. You are the Christ. You are the Lord. You are Adonai. You are it. Nothing goes beyond you or your power or your ability. And Jesus, in John 6:44, it says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. We give grace to God and praise to Him for that. And I will raise him up on the last day. So it is the greatest provision of grace. And in John 6:65, when He said, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father. So then we come to this miracle, not only of sight, but a spiritual discernment. How did Peter become aware of the identity of Jesus Christ? How? It was by supernatural power and discernment and transformation of Jesus. See, I look at this and it's so clear in the Bible, every human being in their own strength is blind to the understanding of God. And I'm so glad because Matthew explains this a little further. In Matthew 16:17, Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. You did not come to conclusions by yourself. And now, let me just look at this for a moment, because when Jesus made the miracle of bringing all that fish out of the sea, you know, Peter fell down on his knees and he said, depart from me, Lord, because I am a sinful creature. So that tells me there are times when you know you're sinful. There are times when you are convicted and you know that you're doing something very stupid, you know. And you say, this is not right before God. I am a very immoral and cruel and evil person. And yet, you have no revelation of Jesus Christ then. But at this point in time, for the first time, Peter is claiming and confessing something by the power of God. And then Jesus answers this beautiful phrase, blessed are you. How blessed are you this morning? Again. How blessed are we to be here, worshiping the Lord and looking at this, because God is revealing something to us. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. In our nature and heart, we are so ignorant to the things of God. I mean, how many times we look at a need, a situation, and we see it in the natural. And we say, how can this glorify your name, God? How can you do something powerful through this difficult thing in my life? Yes, there is pain and evil sometimes that we face in such ways that it's beyond our understanding. The loss of loved ones. And yet God is beyond our understanding. Amen? Sometimes I get to the end of the problem and I get to a place where I can't really move forward. And I say, God, I don't know why. I have no understanding of why this is going on in the world or in such person's life. It's God's grace that is going to take us through that in the midst of impossibility. We have to surrender everything to Him and say, Lord, speak to us in a spiritual way. Just look at this for a moment. Every person's success in the Bible, in the New Testament, just think of this, was in relationship to Jesus and who Jesus was for them. Amen? Look at Paul, for example. He was a blind man in his spirit. And he thought he needed to persecute the church. But when he went to Damascus, in the middle of the day, he saw this light. And he was blind. He was blind in the physical, but in the spiritual part, his eyes were open to see something. And he fell down and he says, "Who are you, Lord?" And look at what Jesus says. "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting." He wasn't persecuting Jesus. He was persecuting the church. But in persecuting the church, he was persecuting Jesus. And he was against God because he said, "It is a difficult thing for you to be giving punches to the gods. You're hitting what is going to break you." Paul changed. And then he says, and later on, Paul shares and he says, "God called me and he said, I've called you for this, to open the eyes of the blind and to bring them to repentance." They knew this idea of blindness, and they knew how we get it through only the power of God. And now look in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through 21. It says, "Now, because it is possible for us as Christians to sometimes get dull of understanding and not grow," it says, "I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds." So get rid of any dullness or darkness in your mind and your heart. Aim to know more of Christ. How do you do that? In the same way, in a supernatural way, by asking God for that revelation in your life. We'll see it in a minute, but it says they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality. See, once you deny God and you become callous, now you are free to give yourself to any kind of evil. Sensuality, greedy, practice every kind of immorality, impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ. Not only are you blessed in Christ, but the question now is, are you learning in Christ? And if it's a learning from Christ, it's not a learning just in the flesh. It's a learning in the Spirit. Amen? It's a supernatural ability to grow in Him. Assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus. He is the truth. He's the way, He's the life. But nothing is given to us unless it's given through the Spirit. So Lord, how do we do this? Well, as Jesus called us to Him, we got to remember we were dead in trespasses and sins in which we walked at some point in time. And if we came to Christ by grace, I'm reading Ephesians 2:1 there. Now, we were dead, we were following the course of the world, we were following the prince of the power of the air, and then we were just living in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, God, in the midst of darkness and deadness, we were not breathing, not seeing, not hearing, nothing, no sensitivity at all for the Lord. And there God made a miracle to us. In the same way we are to grow. I'm going to jump here a little fast, but let's look in Ephesians 1:7. As Jesus called us, we were a spiritual awakening and discover who we are. Now look what it says. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace. And that's where we are, which He lavished upon us. So Lord, if we have these riches of Your grace, and You are lavishing them on us. And then look what it says. In all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will according to His purpose. This is available for us this morning. And I want to challenge you. Yes, there is a way to get this. And it is through prayer. It is through seeking Christ and saying, "Lord, here I am in the midst of this situation in my life." It may be your marriage this morning. It may be your finances. You may be dealing with a sin, an addiction in your life. You need to come to God and say, "Lord, this is the blessing that You have proclaimed to me, that I am lavished upon the riches of Your grace. And I'm going in the midst of something that I don't understand. Lord, open my mind, my heart, and my understanding. Because I want to know the mystery of Your will in this purpose that You have for me." And look what it says. which he has set for in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Now, I'm going to jump to the last verse in your notes there. Look what it says when we come to understand these things. It says, Paul says, for this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I want to challenge you as we finish this morning with something. We are complacent in the Lord. Yes, we are Christians. We go to church. We love to worship. We proclaim his name. But we let all these things, you know, grow. They are weeds sometimes. It's a spiritual attack of the enemy. It's darkness that opposes us. Satan is like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour out there. There are habits, you know, that sometimes we just accept. You know what I'm talking about, this one. And you are living a mediocre life. You are dwelling in sin. You are immoral. You are just staying where you are, stagnating your growth with God. And needing to be teachers, you have the need to still be trained in ways that you shouldn't be trained anymore because you are in Christ. I want to invite you this morning to submit to Christ. And it's not that you are smart or wise, it's that you surrender to him and say, Lord, open my mind to greater things in the kingdom of heaven. Open my understanding and my heart to walk out of the problems that I am in right now so that your name may be glorified. We need a manifestation of God in our lives continually. If you're not a Christian, this is a good moment for you to surrender, to submit to Christ too. And I want to give you that opportunity. In fact, if you're dealing with something, why don't you come to us? We want to pray for you, with you, as a church, as elders, as leaders this morning. And if you're not a believer, I want to invite you to accept Jesus and surrender to him. Let me tell you, there's nothing beyond that. Christ is everything. If I was to die today, but I have the Lord, I have it all. Don't die without the Lord. If you're not even sure of your salvation and you're questioning that, don't question it. He is real. He's here today. Let's bow our heads as the worship team comes. And just, as I said, if you have a need, we want to pray with you. And I want you to pray on your own. Just ask God for this revelation that comes from him to change us and transform us. Lord, yes, we are challenged. We are convicted in some ways. But at the same time, Lord, we are so excited and so blessed and happy, Lord. Yes, to know that we are in you. To know that we are accepted, to know that we are loved in you, to know that we have power in us, Lord, from above. To know that you have been caring for us and taking us from one place to another. And Lord, in the midst of trials and circumstances, we have your grace and your goodness. And Lord, we want to experience more of that, more of that. You know the depth of our pain in this room. You know the depth of our fears in this room. You know the depth of our anger and sometimes resentment. Would you take it away today, Lord? Would you wipe it away, Lord, with the blood? Would you give us the faith to trust in you? An experience of you that is beyond all the experiences that we have encountered in this world. The things of this world are passing away, Lord, but you will not pass away. The ones who believe in you will remain forever. And Lord, to know that, to experience that, to live like that every day, Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, when we wake up and when we go to work, and to be full of your grace, Lord. Oh, Spirit of God, fall on this place. Spirit of God, make it real on us. Bring a revival in your church in such a way that we are changed. Heal marriages, Father. Save our children. Change the hearts and the minds of people. Oh, we love you, Lord. And yes, we are crazy for you. Allow us to express that love, that gratitude, Lord. Enjoy and worship. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord. Yeah, we don't love you as you love us. We will never do that, Lord, because we don't have that ability yet. But, Lord, for a moment, for a glimpse in our lives, for a second, for a split of a second, to be in your presence sometimes like this. Magnify your name and your presence in our minds and in our hearts in such a way that in spite of anything else that we're facing today, Lord, we're moving to you. Changed minds and hearts, glorify your name in a new way. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. And we lift this song to you, Lord, with adoration now. In your mighty name, Lord. Amen. Let's worship Christ. Let's go.